Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM iSeries Nation Citizens Chat conference call. Just a reminder, today's call is being recorded, and at this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to your host, Malcolm Haynes. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Timothy. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. As you know, Tim Olpers was down to give today's presentation, but Tim had to leave at very short notice for a visit to South China, I think it was. So because of time zone differences, he decided not to do it live. So today's call will be done by Ian Jarman, whom everybody knows. And to help us during the question and answer session, Ian will be joined by Amit Dave, who again is known to everyone, and Craig Johnson. So without any further delay, I'll hand over straight away to Ian Jarman. Ian, please.
Thank you, Malcolm, and good morning, everybody, from Rochester. So today we're going to talk about the announcement update, the announcement that we're making today on July 13th. So you should be looking at a set of charts that we've posted. I'll be taking you through those charts, and then we'll have an opportunity for your questions later. So let me begin on chart number two. And this chart is just there to explain the name changes that we made. Obviously, we're following up in this announcement the major announcement that we made on May the 4th. And at that time, as you know, our new products became the eServer i5 servers, and we changed the name of the operating system to i5OS. And you can see that we took the i for integration with the 5 from Power 5, brought it together with i5. And the strategy that we're pursuing here becomes more obvious when you see now today also, on July 13th, we're making announcements with our P-Series servers that their Power 5 products will become the eServer P5 products. And so we're really coming together on common technology surrounding Power 5, and the P-Series will be announcing models today like we announced on May 4th, the 520, for example, and the 570 will also be models in the P-Series or the eServer P5 model as well. So we're really coming together on this common technology base and then exploiting the technology in slightly different ways, packaging it in slightly different ways for the iSeries and P-Series markets. Now, if you go on to chart number three, really, when you look at the eServer i5, the whole value of eServer i5 centers around i5OS, our operating system, not only the operating system, of course, but the integrated database, the integrated middleware that includes a HTTP server powered by Apache, all of the systems management, operations navigator capability, and so on. Now, in the May announcement, we also announced that we would be shipping WebSphere Express with all of the i5OS licenses with v5.3. And that's a very important initiative because, of course, it extends beyond the database this key piece of middleware for extending applications to the web and writing e-business applications. And of course, don't really need to tell you, because we've all been using iSeries for a while, that really the major value of i5OS is not only to be able to write these applications, but also to protect those applications from change over time with binary compatibility since the 1970s. Now, on page number four, the other major area of differentiation between the iSeries and P-Series, perhaps, is the area of infrastructure simplification and also the different operating systems that we support and focus on. Now, of course, really everybody running the eServer i5 is going to be using OS 400 or i5OS, and that assumption means that we ship i5OS, of course, with all of our systems. But we also offer the capability to run Linux, AIX, Windows, and we also announced in May that we would in the future run Linux on our integrated X-Series servers. So it's this whole theme of simplification of infrastructure, being able to have one server that can run multiple applications, to have the ability to manage those applications simply, instead of having people running around managing server farms, that you can deploy them to manage new applications of value to your business. So this infrastructure simplification message has been a theme for some time, and of course with this announcement we're making the general availability of both AIX and Linux on the eServer i5 platform. More about that in a moment. Now, on chart number 5, you can see the summary of the announcement. And, of course, this is the second act, as I said, really, in a two-act play. The first act being on May the 4th. And the products that we announced then, including the 520 and also the 570 1-4-way, have already been made available, and we are shipping those beginning on June 11th. And these were the industry's first Power 5 servers, and we were very proud to bring those first to the iSeries community, bringing them to small to medium-sized customers. And we said at that time that they would exploit the common technology with the P-Series. And of course now, as we roll out those products into the eServer P5, you'll see how that plays out. We also, of course, announced on May 4th the new release of the operating system V5R3 and the virtualization engine, the technology from IBM that allows you to share resources like the logical partitioning, for example. Now, Act 2 on July 13th today, really what we're doing today is announcing the availability of some of the things that we previewed in May. And specifically, we're talking today about the extension of the 570 to become a 16-way, completing the model line, as we'll talk about in a moment. And we're also talking about the general availability of AIX and Linux on the platform, and more about those two things in a moment. There's a couple of other things that we're also making available, capacity on demand, and also our high availability editions in the 520 and 570, for example. If I go to chart number 6 now, you'll see some of the reaction to the eServer i5 and i5 OS. I think, just very simply, we had a very positive reaction to the fact that we brought Power 5 first to the iSeries. This is a very strong signal of our commitment in IBM to the platform, and also to our small to mid-sized customers. What we see now is that as we begin to roll this out, we're getting very good feedback on the stability of V5R3, which is very good news, and we're also seeing a very high and rapid adoption of V5R3 amongst our ISV community. And if you go to our website, you can see a whole list of the ISVs who are now supporting V5R3 and i5OS. So good news from both of those respects there. Also, in chart number 7, you can see some of the information that we've provided now on the performance and benchmarks using, in this case, the 520. So here we're showing a 520 benchmark, a two-way benchmark of the eServer i5 versus Sun and HP with the AMD and Intel Xeon processors. And notice that we are leading both of those in terms of SAP users in this case. We're seeing very good performance from Power 5. And Power 5 roughly gives us 2 to 3 times more performance than the comparable previous generation Power 4 processors. So this is great performance, and you'll see a lot more benchmarks from the P-Series in this announcement today also. Now, interestingly, this is also on this chart, you can see this is the 2000th customer using SAP. And not surprisingly, this customer is in Asia, where we pick up a lot of new customers, and we have very strong support for SAP in the ASEAN region. So we're delighted that this is a South Korean customer that is this 2000th customer with SAP. Now on chart number 8, if you saw our announcement earlier in May, this just refreshes this chart, talking about the addition of the 16-way. So very simply, we have really two products now in our new product line, the eServer i5, the 520 down at the bottom there, which comes both in a rack-mounted version and a tower or desk-side model, and that's for small to medium-sized customers, and it really replaces the 800 and 810 on the left. Then you see the 570, and now on July 13th, we are extending that from its original 1-4-way capability up to a 16-way. And there are four four-way building blocks in the 570 product that make up that 16-way. And now with that 16-way, the performance actually covers right across the range of the previous 825 through and beyond the performance of the 890. So this is a very scalable, very upgradable machine that covers that full performance range, which you can see on chart number 9. So this just shows the CPW or performance rating of the two models. 520 going from a 1 to 2 way, and the 520 has at the low end these express editions which are fully integrated with hardware, software and everything you need for a small business, right up to the more powerful 2 way in the 520, which has up to 6,000 CPW. Then in the 570, what really characterizes the 570 is more expandability in terms of I.O., the number of towers and other things that you can attach. Plus, of course, the 570 begins with the capacity on-demand capability. Now, in the May announcement, we announced the 1-2-way and the 2-4-way. So the new news here is the announcement of the 5-8-way, 9-12-way, and 13-16-way. Now, you can see that actually the full performance rating of the 570 16-way is 44,700 CPW. That's about 20% more than the existing 890 32-way. The existing 32-way was 37,000 CPW. So in the 16-way, this is a massive machine, massive performance, and that's just the 16-way. Obviously, we have much further that we can go in terms of using the Power 5 technology in the future as we roll out even more processor models in the future. So this is really just the beginning of the performance capability of Power 5, and already we've overtaken the capability of the 890. On chart number 10, you see the capacity on demand enhancement. Now, we already have capacity on demand on our current iSeries models, the 825, 870, and the 890, for example. And in those models, we have both on-off capacity on demand and capacity upgrade on demand. We're adding, in this announcement, three new capabilities. Firstly, we're adding memory on demand. And this, you can buy a 4 to 8 gigabyte memory card with 4 gigabytes activated and 4 gigabytes on demand. And then you can activate those additional 4 gigabytes with a 1 gigabyte activation feature. These can be activated either permanently with capacity upgrade on demand or temporarily with the on-off capability. So just like the processors, you can activate memory with the on-off capability as well. So that will be a very effective complement to the processor capability that we have already, allowing you to deploy more balanced growth as you switch on those processors. Generally, you would also need more memory to go with them. Another new capability is reserve capacity on demand. And the best description I found of this is it's like having an automatic reserve tank of gas in the car. What you do is you buy a block of 30 processor days up front, and there are no contracts or no reporting to do, like with on-off capacity. You just buy the capability or the processor days up front, and then once you have them in the machine, you can use them automatically, and the system will automatically respond should the system go over 100% utilization. I should say go to 100% utilization. And then the system will automatically activate these processors. And then after 24 hours, it will look again to see if you still need that processor capacity. If you do, it will continue to run, taking up those processor days. And if you don't, then it will switch it off again. So this is automatically activated and deactivated on demand, and it's ideal really if you have a business where you know that you can hit significant business peaks and you want that reserve capacity like an insurance policy. And I could see banks using this, for example, or people who have a lot of online deployments who might have some very variable activity in their capacity. The final thing that we're adding is trial capacity on demand. This comes when you buy the machine. So when I buy a 5 to 8 way, for example, I have within that price 30 consecutive days of trial capacity. So that means I can turn on the 6th, 7th, and 8th processor. I can turn those on and I can use them for 30 consecutive machine days. And I say that, but it's not 1 month end, then the next month end, then the next month end. It's 30 consecutive days. And the idea of this is you can test how you would use this new capacity and test out that performance, and then you can activate the number of processors you need. So let's say you test out those 3 processors with the trial capacity and you decide that you need 1, so you activate the 6th processor. After you've activated that, the clock restarts, so in the future you'll be able to try out the 7th and 8th processors if you wanted to do that later on. So it's a one-time use, but it resets after an upgrade or an activation. Okay, now let's go on to chart number 11. This talks about the availability of AIX. And this is really very significant because today IBM is also announcing a new release of AIX, AIX 5.3. And this is a very significant breakthrough for the Unix marketplace because AIX 5.3 goes beyond the current AIX capability for dynamic partitioning and adds the capability for micro-partitions. That is, to have partitions of less than one processor. And it has the virtualization engine capability that supports virtual storage, virtual I/O, virtual Ethernet. So really, this brings together the capability for partitioning that we have currently in i5OS and OS/400 with the same kind of capability that we have now for AIX. At the same time, of course, we can support this release on August 31st on both the eServer P5 and now on the eServer i5. And I think when people are deploying this on the eServer i5, they're most likely to deploy the 5.3 release because of this micro-partitioning capability. So we're going to be very familiar with this, very easy to understand how this would be used, because it's very, very similar to the Linux capability that we have today on the iSeries. I think for the Unix marketplace, however, this really is a very significant breakthrough, because this kind of partitioning capability is just not available in the Unix marketplace today. Sun doesn't have it, HP doesn't have it, so IBM is the first to have this capability, and the reason why is very clear, because we've taken this eServer technology, the virtualization assets that we have in the mainframe, and we took it to the iSeries first. Now we're taking it into the P-Series and AIX. So we're able to share these technologies across our eServer product portfolio. Now this is very significant, of course, also for our ISV community. So companies like PeopleSoft, for example, and there are many others that are in this situation, I think of Manhattan Associates also, many of these companies have a portfolio of applications that include both Unix or AIX applications as well as OS/400 applications. PeopleSoft being a great example because they've come together between two companies, JD Edwards and PeopleSoft, where J.D. Edwards' heritage was in OS/400 applications and Windows more recently also, but PeopleSoft really had their heritage in Unix applications. So bringing those two companies together, now with the ability to sell both of their applications together on the eServer i5. So this is great really for, I think, for choice and flexibility in how you deploy applications. Now the way that we run AIX is very similar because it's the same AIX that is running on the eServer i5 as the eServer P5. Really, the rules of, determine how you run this are very similar to running it on the eServer P5. We will have the capability to host storage, just like we host storage for Linux and Windows today. We'll now be able to host storage with our virtual storage capability for AIX partitions, and that's what I'm showing you in the diagram here. Now, on chart number 12, you'll see some details of the Linux availability. This was a product preview that we made in May. Now we're following through with the announcement from the two Linux vendors. One item of significance here, also to do with the eServer P5 announcement, is that now we will have from these vendors a common distribution, one distribution for both power products. So the Blades, the P-Series, the I-Series, all of the power products will come off a common distribution, which means it's very simple for ISVs to compile to power and then run it anywhere across our power portfolio of products. So that should help ISVs bring their applications across to our platform. From Red Hat, you'll have Red Hat Enterprise Linux 3. This is an existing version of Enterprise Linux 3, and Update 3 makes it available for the eServer i5 and P5. That's coming in September. And then from SUSE, this is a new release of the Novell product, SUSE Linux Enterprise 9, sometimes referred to as SLES 9, which is a an acronym that even IBM couldn't have thought of. So SLES 9, standing for SUSE Linux Enterprise Server 9, will be available on August 31st. You notice here that eventually we'll have up to 254 Linux partitions. Today, with a 16-way, 10 per processor, we can do up to 160. So, that's Linux, and you'll see many customers, I think, deploying infrastructure applications in that way. Now, in May, we announced also a product preview that we would run Linux on the integrated X-Series server. You'll notice that that's not in this announcement. We do intend to do that very soon. It's a product preview, and so we'll be following up with more information on that in the future. But it's not in this announcement today. Okay, so now if we look at chart number 13, you'll see that there's some more details of the 570. This just gives you the details about the performance and so on. One of the things that's very clear about the 570 is its flexibility and upgradability, replacing the 825, 870, and the 890 with really linear scalability, providing performance range from 3,300 CPW up to a massive 44,700, as we mentioned earlier. And as you add these additional building blocks, so you add more memory, more disk attachability, and so on. It features standard and enterprise options. We'll also make available a capacity backup server for the 570, and we'll also have a high availability server for those people who use a second server as a duplicate for high availability. So chart number 14 shows the building blocks. This is what we call a pay-as-you-grow SMP architecture. And what that means is that you upgrade a building block at a time, adding 4-way on top of 4-way until you get to 16-way. And as you add each building block, you extend the memory and expandability, so you get balanced growth as you move up. And also, because it's a building block, you have the memory compatibility across all of these different building blocks. So there's no memory exchange or leaving any parts on the floor if you move up and upgrade through the model. Chart number 15, this is an enhanced disk controller. We had previously the 2757 Jumbo PCIX RAID disk controller. And it was a Jumbo cache. We called it the Jumbo cache because it had 757 of write cache on that controller. We always hoped that it would be 747 because then it would make the Jumbo more appropriate. But nonetheless, we got an additional 10 megabytes in there, so it was 757. Now, this huge write cache, in combination with the 15K disk drives, in combination with new towers, HSL 2 towers, and so on, made really an important breakthrough in terms of performance, particularly for our larger customers. And what we're doing here with the 2780 is really enhancing that controller. So now for the same price as the original 2757, you get the 757 megabytes of write cache with this new controller, you get two additional things. Firstly, you get 1 gigabyte of read cache. Okay, originally it was write cache, now we're providing 1 gigabyte of read cache. And this read cache is good for those applications that do sequential reads. So if I'm doing a batch operation, for example, I might be sequentially reading through an entire file. And in that event, then the system will go forward and read more records into cache, and it can use this capability of the read cache that's built into the controller. It also adds an important resiliency improvement, which is that it provides for concurrent battery maintenance. And these batteries last approximately 2 years. And originally, they had to be replaced when you were doing some scheduled maintenance to bring the system down. Now they will be able to be replaced in flight concurrently whilst the system is running. Now, currently, this controller is available for 520 and 570. Obviously, it's for larger customers. There are other controllers for those people who just want a RAID controller, for example. There are other options without all this read and write disk cache. It requires V5R3. So then, in summary, we'll go into questions and so on in a moment. In summary, then, this is an important day for IBM, not only for the iSeries and eServer i5, because today we're making a major announcement for IBM and Power 5 in our P-Series products and also in our iSeries products. For us, it's the second act of a two-act play that we began in May. But really what we're doing here, if you step back from the iSeries, is really delivering, I think, on the vision that we had for eServer, that we would be able to share technology, share the portfolio of technology that we have in IBM more broadly across our different products if we brought together our development teams and coordinated our marketing activities and so on between the various server products that we have. And that's why I'm delighted today to say that with the eServer i5 and the eServer P5 together, we can lead the industry with 16-way Power 5 performance. Obviously, we'll have even more performance to come as we deliver further products based on Power 5. Now, with that, I'm joined here with Amit Darbe and also Craig Johnson. And now, Malcolm, I think I'll turn it back to you, and then we can begin the process of moving towards our Q&A section.
Thank you very much, Ian. Timothy, could you first do the poll, and then we will go to the telephones, please?
I sure will. And at this time, we will ask a one-question brief electronic survey. After I finish reading the entire question and all of the possible responses, please answer by firmly pressing the star key followed by the number on your touch-tone phone that corresponds to your choice. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Here we go. On a scale of 1 to 4, how valuable did you find Ian's chat? For very valuable, please press star 1. For valuable, press star 2. For somewhat valuable, press star 3. And of no value, press star 4. And we'll pause for just a moment to compile your responses. And that does complete our electronic survey. And at this time, we would like to go into our question and answer session. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. For those of you who would like to ask a question or make a comment, you may do so by pressing the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Again, press star 1 if you have a question. Again, if you're using a speakerphone, please disengage your mute function to allow our equipment to pick up your signal. We'll take as many questions as time permits, and we'll answer your questions in the order you signal us. Again, that's star one to ask a question. And it looks like our first question today will come from Eric Letty.
Good morning.
Good morning, Eric.
I am in Kansas City with a local iSeries user group.
Oh, great.
And I'm very happy that IBM has this venue on a regular basis. And I would like to speak with you afterward offline about the possibility of IBM having events for OS 400 user groups around the United States on an occasional basis using this this infrastructure that you have in place today.
Okay. I'm sure, Malcolm, that's probably a good question for you, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Let's speak afterwards. I can get your details, Eric, from the operator. If you could speak offline to the operator, and we will speak immediately after this this chat.
Thank you very much.
And just, I mean, I know since you're there with a user group, Eric, we're very delighted that there are so many user groups across the country. And I know we've been talking with user groups, consistently. Very often we go out and speak to user groups. In fact, we were just recently up speaking with the Q user group in Minneapolis. And, we do provide support in a number of ways to local user groups, as, of course, we do to Common. So thank you all for listening. We appreciate it.
And as a reminder, if you have a question, please press star one now. Malcolm, do we have any same-time questions?
Let me just see if I've had anything electronically. Just 1 second. Yes, there is some stuff here. Let me just see. I've had a few questions submitted electronically. Let me just see here. Just 1 second. Here we are.
Will the performance of AIX on the i5 be the same as the performance of AIX on the P5?
I think that's probably one for you, Craig.
Yes, Malcolm. This is Craig Johnson. Yes, with AIX 5L 5.2 and AIX 5L 5.3 running on the eServer i5, the performance of that environment will be equivalent to AIX running on the eServer P5, given the same configuration. So if you have two processors and a gig of memory in the same storage environment on both machines, then AIX will perform equivalently.
Thanks, Craig. Timothy, any questions on the phone?
There are no names in the queue at this time, but again, I'd like to remind everyone that if you have a comment or question, please press star one. It looks like we do have someone queued up. It's Jerry Barney.
Hello.
Hello, Jerry.
Yes, I may have missed this, but I thought we were going to have a dynamic allocation of, like, tape drives and things like that. Is that a direction or what?
Okay, Emmett, could you take that one? No, we haven't missed that at all. The dynamic allocation really didn't exist as such. We were able to switch resources between partitions because we're essentially tied at the boundaries of IOP implementation for that. And that switching of tape resources between partitions doesn't really change with this announcement, even with Power5 servers. So if you're behind, for example, the SAN fabric, it even gets a little bit easier because the fabric itself is going to make the drives visible for you. But if you're just behind a SCSI tape drive, then you would have to deallocate from one partition and switch it to the other partition along with an IOP.
And that still requires an operator then, right?
That still requires an operator.
Okay. And there's no future?
We are looking into how we can automate that as well. The challenge we have is to understand if a tape drive was released by an operating system at the other end or not. So it becomes quite challenging to find out whether the save had finished or not. But we are looking into alert management since we now have multiple operating environments to see if there is a common messaging architecture we can utilize to run between all the partitions.
Okay, thank you.
And now we'll hear from Steve Sisk.
Yes, my question is centered around licensing costs for i5OS and AIX. If I'm buying a 574-way, and I want to run two processors as AIX and two processors as i5OS. I believe under today's pricing structure for i5OS, I must purchase basically OS 400 under the processor tier groups for all four processors. Is that being looked at?
Craig, do you want to take that one? So you're buying a four-way. I mean, really, you'd be buying a two- to four-way and then switching on those two additional processors for AIX. So, Craig, if you could take that one, I think that's...
Yeah, so the 570 has the two- to four-way option where you purchase two processors with two licenses of i5OS, and if I'm not mistaken, that's a P30 software tier. And as you turn on the other two processors, it remains a P30 software tier. And after you activate those processors, then you can purchase the AIX license for each of those processors. So you could have OS or i5OS running on two processors and AIX running on the other two.
I think that's what you wanted, wasn't it, Steve?
Yes, is that the same for the 520 as well?
Well, the 520, most people, you know, buying the one-way configuration, so it's a little bit different there because we don't have capacity on demand in the 520. So it's not quite the same picture there. Was there a particular model of the 520 that you were thinking of, or...?
No, not necessarily. I just, seeing as how you're, if you wanted to run half a processor with AIX and half with i5, you know, essentially I assume you'd have to purchase two.
Yeah, well,
one processor of each.
Yeah, I mean, we don't, let's say you bought a one-way, for example. You would buy a license of OS 100 with that one-way server. And then you would, let's say you wanted to run AIX on it, you would, Craig, I think, just add an AIX license, which is what?
$430 for the 520.
Yeah. So it's not a huge additional charge for the AIX license. But really, yeah, we do sell at least one base license with the i5OX, with each of the e-server i5 models.
I guess the other scenario is if I have a 1 and 3, of course, and on 870 where I want to run 3 at with AIX and 1 with i5OS for some reason.
Right.
Is there a way in the pricing model to handle that?
Within the 570, Craig, maybe you take that one.
Did you say the 870 or the 570?
570, yeah.
So you want to run one with i5OS and three with AIX?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not in the standard product offering that we have, but we'd be happy to talk with you. So if you want to send me an email directly at johnsonc@us.ibm.com, be happy to talk with you about that.
Okay.
I think, Steve, I mean, what we're trying to do, particularly if you look at the 570, yeah, really, we have a lot of flexibility with the on-demand, capacity on-demand capability. And now with this new AIX capability, we plan to have a flexible on-demand pricing that allows you to mix multiple workloads. And you gave one good example of, you know, just how we are able to do that with the two and two. But, you know, but there are endless, different examples that we could come up with, and we're trying to make sure that we can provide all the different options to customers to meet their requirements to run multiple workloads on the system. So I think you'll see us continue to extend that on-demand pricing to give you even more flexibility in that area.
Super, thank you.
Now, I don't know if maybe too complicated to talk about, the pricing of operating systems if you're using LPAR and but there are some other, considerations if you're using the
uncapped
processor capability of LPAR, which basically says if you have, there are some situations where you would need additional licenses of OS 100 or AIX if you were using uncapped partitions. So, if you're using those, then you need to take a good look at what actually you're being licensed for. So, Craig, maybe.
No, just repeating, send me an email at johnsonc@us.ibm.com.
Okay, very good. So, do we have another question, please?
Not at this time, but if you have a question, please press star 1.
You don't have anybody waiting at the moment, Timothy?
No, sir, we don't.
Okay, I've got somebody here on this line. Let me just give you another question that I just had submitted to me electronically. Let's just see. Yeah, this is the next one here.
Can I use the new disk controller on my 890?
It's probably one for you, Amit.
Oh, this is in reference to the new disk controller, the 2780, and the question was, can we use that with the 890? The 890 currently is running at V5R2, what we're trying to do is, for the initial announcement, make sure that the controller is supported on Power 5 hardware with the eServer i5 520 and the 570. We are looking into bringing that back into the existing systems like the 890 and the 870s and, of course, the 825s as well, primarily with V5R3 first. No plans at present as to how far can we go back with V5R2.
Okay, thanks, Amit. Timothy, any questions from your side?
Not at this time.
I've got another one here.
You are using the same technology as P-Series. Will the price of disk on the i5 be the same as the price of disk on the P5?
Ian, do you want to handle that?
Yes. This is actually something, if you didn't hear the question quite, are we having the same disk prices on the i-Series and P-Series? When we talked in May about the original announcement of eServer i5, we rebalanced our pricing, reducing many of our feature prices and coordinating them with the P-Series. So you would have seen at that time a dramatic reduction in memory price, for example, and a very significant reduction in disk price. So we've already brought our disk prices into line with the P-Series. You'll notice today, July 13th, we're taking some significant price action, reducing 10K RPM disk drive prices. And again, that is a price action that is also coordinated with the P-Series. And as we're making this announcement with P-Series, there are actually probably 100 other features that are being rebalanced in terms of pricing between the two products. And so those are now a single consistent price for all of those components. So yes, look out for very competitive disk pricing, and you should see that 10K RPM disk price drop significantly today.
Okay, Ian, let me just check if that was okay with our...
Thank you. That was a perfect answer.
So that seems okay. Let me just see if I've got anything else here. I have no more questions here. Timothy, do you have any more questions?
None at this time. And as a final reminder, press star 1 if you have a question. And there are no names in the queue at this time.
Okay, well, I think we'll bring this call to a close. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Amit. Thank you, Craig. And thank you, everyone, for being with us today. The next Citizens Chat, incidentally, is actually this coming Thursday, because today was a special extra one that we scheduled. The next one is this Thursday, and it's called Real Java, Real Easy. And Jim Mason, who's one of the industry's leading e-business consultants, will actually be giving this session. So please join us again at 11 a.m. Eastern Time this Thursday for the next Citizens Chat. Thank you very much, everyone.
And that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation.